Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to another episode of More Than Ordinary, brought to you by Seven Generation Games. I'm Anne Marie DeMars.
And I'm Maria Burns Ortiz.
And today we talk about things that you can do to resist the Trump skis.
Well, let's just jump right into it. Yeah, if you're listening and you do not at all share our political beliefs, well, you have two options. You can stop listening or you can be ready to say, you know what, I didn't agree, but then I listened to this amazing podcast and had my worldview shifted. We recommend you the other one, or the first one. We recommend you listen to us either way. And if you decide that you're really angry, you know how you can show us that? Go and buy our games.
Send us money. Oh, that was the thing that won the internet today. And that was J.K. Rowling's. Someone tweeted at her, after I heard your political views, I'm going to burn all your books and your DVDs. And she said, well, maybe the fumes will be toxic and you'll die. And I already have your money. So go ahead, lend my lighter.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I just saw someone was criticizing her writing and she shot back. I love following her on Twitter. If you're not following her on Twitter, you should because she's amazing.
Then there was another response. Mark Cuban, some random Trumpski person, said, I wonder who paid all of those protesters to show up at the Washington, D.C. airport. And Mark Cuban tweeted, it was me. I got the Illuminati to help me. And they were cheap, so Stewie paid the rest. And they had a picture of Stewie from The Family Guy.
See, exactly. Well, and that was kind of what you wanted to start with today, is things that you could do if you don't have money even to pay the Illuminati to show up and protest. You know, ways that you can make a stand and kind of be heard and feel like you're doing something and actually be doing something, you know, because it's great to be on Twitter with snarky comments and things. And that's certainly part of it.
We're all about the snarky comments.
We are big fans of snarky comments, but also maybe going a little bit deeper, you know. So we were talking earlier and we're going to run through some of our ideas and thoughts and actions because we're big on actually doing things.
I'm a big fan of grabyourwallet.org. If you don't know what that is, that's a site that gives a list of all the companies that support Trumpski, that sell their products. And I call them Trumpski because I grew up in an age when the Soviet Union was not our friend. And I think the Soviet Union is still not our friend. So I'm appalled that we have an administration that is pretty much in bed with them. In fact, if you believe some of the creepy rumors, literally in bed with them. But that's ew.
And alleged.
Alleged. Nasty. Who's nasty now? So, yeah, just Google Golden Trump if you don't know what you're talking about. That is a not safe for work Googling, just so you know. Anyway, grabyourwallet.org says, here's companies that you could support. So they have some to boycott, but what I find more useful is support these companies. They do good work. They have no Trumpski products. So, for example, BarnesandNoble.com. I buy a lot of books, and I'll be buying all my books from them from now on. Or not just them, there are a couple other book sites, so that's cool. Maria's favorite store.
Target, the most amazing store that we don't have in Santa Monica, but I'm going to Minneapolis in just a couple hours after filming that, where they have Targets on every corner like Starbucks in Seattle or Dunkin' Donuts in New England. So Target, you can get pretty much anything you want at Target and Target online, and they're awesome.
So that's one thing you can do that you think, oh, well, I have a job and I don't have time to go and protest and I really am appalled by the things that are going on, but I don't feel like, you know, going and holding a sign at the airport will change things, which if you are holding a sign at the airport, good for you, you know?
Yeah, we passed some of those people actually twice. We flew back from Belize. We came through DFW in Dallas, and there was a big crowd there. And when we came back to LAX, again, a big crowd here. And I do think that, you know, it sends a message, and it does show, you know, the fact that people are willing to go out there and stand and protest and take the streets says something. Because a lot of times I think part of the problem is people are very apathetic, and you're allowed to kind of roll over things that you might not if people are out there. And for people to standing there saying, look, we're not okay with it, and this is how not we're okay with it, we are, start to hopefully at least send some kind of a message.
So, yeah, if you're doing that, that's fine. But maybe that's not you. I work all the time. I work in Belize. I work on planes. I work in airports. I work sitting at the DMV for 2 hours getting my license replaced. So I'm not going to be out there protesting. So what could I do? So like I said, we spend a lot of money because my husband has an Amazon addiction and Amazon was on the list of boycott companies. So I told him today, look, I want us to buy a whole lot less stuff off of Amazon. Now, maybe, for example, we need a headphone amplifier and that was the only place we could get it. So maybe we'll get it there, but we'll go from spending $700 a week on useless crap from Amazon to $100. And frankly, how much useless crap do you need in your house?
That's very, very true. One of the other things we talked about is calling representatives. And I know a lot of people on Facebook saying, hey, call these people, you know, senators from Alaska and North Carolina and Wyoming. But one of the things that kind of I felt, if you call them and you're not from their district there, you know, they might, I mean, they're going to probably take your call and everything, but they're not going to care in the way that they don't have to answer to you. They have to answer to their constituents. And so while I don't think that it's bad to have, you know, 9,000 people calling Paul Ryan's office, I do think that really, is it going to have an effect if I'm not from Wisconsin? Because he doesn't really care what I think, because he doesn't need my vote. But one of the things that I did today was I called our representative, Ted Liu. I called his office and just said, you know what, I want to say thank you. And I want to say I think he's doing a great job and to keep it up. And I appreciate having someone advocating for what I think is important. It's similar to like the Yelp effect. You know, people don't like a restaurant, so they go on and they hate it and they put all these bad reviews. But how often have you been somewhere and been happy with the service and then been like, you know, I'm going to go write a review or I'm going to, you know, give feedback. And so I think part of it too is telling people who are aligned with what you want to be done, you know, not just taking for granted, but letting them know you appreciate them.
And so I think maybe the title of this podcast ought to be Small Things You Can Do to Make a Big Difference. Because yes, Santa Monica is probably to the left of crazy when it comes to political leanings in an area. But I did call Ted Liu's Los Angeles office today too and left and talked to somebody and they wanted my name and my zip code because like you said, they're more concerned about people that are their constituents. And I just said, I want him to know that he's doing a great job. And he is a congressional representative that in his bio includes, I don't take orders from Vladimir Putin. So I think that's hilarious. We want our representatives to stand up for what we think is important. And we sometimes forget when we put people in categories like politicians, the press, or whatever, that they're people first and foremost. And I'm sure if you're doing a job where people are screaming at you all the time, it's helpful just to have people send you an email or call your office and say, you know what? You're doing great. I appreciate it. Keep it up.
You know, and we talked a little bit about grab your wallet and spending money with businesses, but I also think sometimes it's a matter of putting your money where your mouth is and supporting the causes that you feel are actually working to make a difference. So, you know, I'm not going to necessarily be going and lobbying, or I certainly am not a lawyer, so I can't go and be defending cases in court. But one of the things I did in November was I joined the ACLU. And I think giving money to causes that are going to be doing the things that I don't necessarily have the skill set to do, but need the financial backing to do is another way that people can support things. And there's certain other organizations that I don't feel like are doing anything that I'm not giving money to. But I think part of it too is putting your money where your mouth is, because some of these things, you know, it's kind of like our games, you know. A lot of times people are like, oh, I really like this game. I want it, but I want it for free. You know, it's not sustainable. We can't develop games and not pay anyone, you know. So again, if I want someone to be out there advocating and going to court and fighting these things and filing injunctions and things, somebody needs to pay them to do it because they still have families that they need to support. And so I think putting your money where your mouth is, giving to causes that are able to do more to actively affect change is another important thing.
In all seriousness, the money you save from not buying as much useless crap from those companies on the boycott list, you could give to some of those good causes. Like most people, we just have an overwhelming amount of stuff in our house. If you have children, just look around. The number of plastic figurines you have could probably, the money you spent on them, feed, you know, a small city in a third world country for a week. So if you buy less of that stuff, that it's just taking up room in your house you don't need. And if maybe you're not like me, but I think a lot of people are, where every few weeks or months you go through your closets and you pull out things, you think, why do I even have this? If you didn't buy that stuff, maybe you could take that money and give it to the World Food Program. Or like I said, it doesn't have to be the ACLU. It could be the World Food Program is one that I give money to because they feed the hungry. And I'm a big believer in that. They actually help refugees who are starving.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because, you know, coming back from Belize, I really kind of, during the week we were there, I'd called my husband and I said, you know, it's just a much simpler life in the sense of you don't feel like, sometimes you're in Santa Monica especially, and I don't feel like, oh, I need a bigger house. I don't necessarily, I mean, maybe I could use an extra bedroom because I have 2 bedrooms and 3 children. But, you know, I feel like you get caught up in all these things that you don't really need. I was going to say I don't need 90 pairs of shoes, but if I had 90 pairs of shoes, that would be amazing. But my point is, you know, we get caught up in needing all of this stuff. And the reality is, how much of it do you actually use and how much of it do you really need? And I think kind of sometimes you go and you travel and you step outside of what you think is the, you know, the bubble. Because we live in a bubble, I think, in a lot of ways. And you step outside that and you realize, you know what? it doesn't make you any happier.
It certainly does. In fact, sometimes it causes you more problems. I was, before we left for Belize, I was cleaning out one of the closets. I had a closet that had nothing in it but hoodies, because I'm always cold, right? And I would be out and I would get another one because it's only $25 and I'm cold. And I gave away something like 24 hoodies to Goodwill. And I still had a bunch. So it's ridiculous. You do really need 40 sweatshirts. So yeah, that's one thing you could do is spend less money on useless crap. Don't spend money with those boycotted companies or more. Like, I'm always big on the positive as opposed to the negative. Go to those companies on the list that says shop here, like Target or Barnes & Noble or Ann Taylor. You don't have to be living a horsehair existence as a hermit. You could shop at Ann Taylor, and it was probably cheaper than some of those other places anyway. So that's something you could do, is put your money where your mouth is, spend it at things that are not supporting Trumpski, take the money you save and give to good causes, call your congressional representatives, and just, if you live in a place like us, just say, keep on fighting the good fight. If you live in Mississippi, move, or if that's not an option, call them and say,
start fighting the good fight.
Right. We're not all racist bigots here. What are you doing? That's what I would say if I lived in Mississippi. I just wanted to say thank you for...
No, I was just making... He was doing this. But I love jazz hands because it makes the person who does it look kind of ridiculous. And I just enjoyed that moment.
Jazz hands is our signal. We're recording, just so you know. Anyway, I wanted to say thank you to some awesome people who donated games. Julie Kedzie, Howard Siegel, and Antonella Wolfie. And Maria said to me that perhaps they wouldn't want their last names used because they wouldn't want to be associated with a pinko commie podcast like us. But if that's the case, too late. I mean, really, you guys, Howard, Julie, and Antonella, you were wonderful. And you gave your money to help support kids in low-income schools benefit and get smarter and have the value of our games and showed that you weren't heartless bastards. So good for you.
Thank you.
All right, now we're on to people who are heartless bastards, which are those people that hold Maria up at immigration every time.
But basically what you're talking about is, you know, we're coming back from Belize and she says to me, Anne-Marie says to me, oh, you think they'll let us in because we're pretty brown. And obviously we have this ban going on, the Muslim ban. So, yeah. So Anne-Marie was joking as we came back from Belize whether they would let us in because of we are not blonde, Swedish looking Americans. And my name happens to be Maria Ortiz. Technically, it's Maria Margaret Burns Ortiz, but that doesn't seem to matter to, I don't know if it's Homeland Security or Customs or whoever it is in charge of this. But she was joking, and I knew that I was going to get flagged because I always get flagged. And it's because, and I've asked, it's not, oh, well, you're assuming that. No, first of all, you know, if you get flagged all the time, it's not random. Okay, there's a law of averages. We have a statistician here who will tell you that it's not a coincidence if it happens over and over and over and over again. And because I also asked one of the first times, well, why am I stopped? And they said, well, you know, it's your name. And I said, because like I said, I realize I have a privilege to get upset about this. There's a lot of people that don't necessarily feel like they can do that. But I was like, so you stop every Maria Ortiz that enters this country? That makes America much safer. It doesn't seem like a good use of resources to me. But the guy, you know, at the time just said, well, you know, I'm sorry, and shrugged, because what's he going to do? So, yeah, but I always get flagged. And I got flagged again coming back from Belize. And anybody can be upset about it. I can be openly upset about it. So they ask you all these questions. Sometimes you just have to go to the longer line, which is, you know, annoying. But they ask you, you know, where have we been? Why are we here? What? 50 million questions. And
I always attempted when they ask you when you're coming across the border from Mexico, can you say something in English, please, to say, go fuck yourself. But I think that gets you held longer.
Yeah. And they didn't ask me that. But they said, you know, oh. And so at the end, the guy says, well, you don't seem very happy. And I said, no, I'm not happy. I think this is ridiculous. And I think that everything going on right now is ridiculous. And you know, the idea of you should be happy about it. But, you know, I was also kind of, in a way, I've been stopped before and sent to what I believe is the level of hell right above the one where Judas is being chomped by Satan in the Inferno. And that is actually what's called, I believe, advanced screening or passport, whatever it is. It's basically the room of misery where you open the door. And this is where they were holding all of these people, I'm sure, that were coming in. And even though they were permanent residents and they had green cards and all these things, where they were holding them. And you walk into this room and it is where you have to sit there. You can't talk to anyone else. You can't take out your phone. You can't even talk to people if you're together. And you have to sit and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. I was there and I didn't even have to be question screened at this one for 2 hours. And one person, the last time I was there, one person came through in those 2 hours. So you're sitting there in this room full of people. And let's just say it is disproportionately brown people. So whether they're from, you know, Middle Eastern countries or whether from South America, Latin America, it is not a random screening room. And I did not for one second feel any safer over the fact that there were all these people who were coming to visit their family or who were coming here for, you know, vacation or things were being stopped. It didn't make me feel safer for one second. And I don't think that anybody who's so worried about immigrants coming to steal our jobs or whatever kind of ridiculousness people are worried about should feel like stopping people with the name Marie Ortiz at the border is going to change anything. And it's just ridiculous. But it's also, like I said, I'm in a position where I don't have to be worried about it. They're going to let me in. They can't not let me in. I mean, right now, at least given the current situation, they have to let me in. But, you know, I came back and I was talking to someone I know who works, who lives here and has lived here for 30 years and is a permanent resident and has a green card and has everything. And they said they were really worried. They said, you know, I have to get citizenship and I'm going to, you know, try and I have to go to get the classes and I have to do all these things. And they'd been thinking about, but they do not believe, they're concerned. Her concern was that her residency might not be valid anymore. And yeah, she's, you know, not from one of these countries on the ban list, but what's to stop it? You start with 7 countries and all of a sudden then it's 50 and all of a sudden it's who knows how many. And so the fact that there are people in this country who are seriously worried, who have done everything right, that, you know, people say, well, they didn't go through the right. No, this is someone who has done everything right, who has all the paperwork in order, who has jobs, who has connections, who has everything here necessary, and they now no longer feel like that means anything. And I think that is alarming and something that people who think that this is about protecting us should really think twice about, because it's, I don't see that.
Okay, this is the part where we tell you to buy 7 Generation Games, because right after this, I'm going to rant, and Maria's afraid that anybody who listens past this point will just decide that they don't want to be affiliated with our company because we're a bunch of radicals. So just go here, www.7generationgames.com/buy. Get yourself some fun games that teach history. History. Some of you guys need to learn history. Send it. You know what? This would be a great idea. All of you guys could donate games in the name of, what's her name, Devos. Because she could sure as hell be smarter, and we will give them all to public schools. So 7generationgames.com/buy, donate them in Betsy's name. We'll send her a thank you. Now, speaking of ranting.
Yeah, I was just told that does not qualify as a rant because there wasn't enough swearing. So I'm ready to learn from the master.
Okay. First of all you people that say it isn't about race, I call total bullshit on you. All right? When this was going on during the election, people were like, well, you know, Trumpsky didn't say anything about immigrants. He's just against illegal immigrants. You know what? Fuck you. Because all these people that were coming over here, like Maria's friend, who I also know, she's been here legally for 30 years. She did every single thing right. And not just her, but those people who were coming in, who risked their lives to help us in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we're like, well, you might be out to kill us. You know, if they were out to kill us, they could have done it when they were risking their life in those countries. So first of all, we were against, oh, it's not immigrants we're against, it's illegal immigrants. Oh, it's not immigrants we're against, but it's immigrants who come from these specific countries. You know what? That's a bunch of bullshit, because I know all kinds of people that come here from Canada and nobody screens them at all. They just had a shooting in Canada where this guy went into a mosque and mowed down people, but I don't hear anybody saying, well, let's bar people from Canada until we figure it out. So no, it is racist. Look in the mirror and quit lying to me. If you want to be a racist, own it. So that's the first thing. I'm not done yet. You may speak, Maria.
I was saying, obviously, we're making an exemption for the swearing rule because,
Well, and I want to talk about Christians and Christianity. Oh, you wanted to speak?
Well, but I was going to say, sometimes, you know, somebody had on Twitter, I don't remember what they said. They said that their church had sponsored a Syrian refugee family and that they'd found out that day that, you know, that family wasn't going to be able to come. And they said, you know, fuck that or something like that. I'm so fucking mad. And I know, look at that. I'm even dropping F-bombs. But
oh my God.
Point was, and then they tweeted later, oh, I'm really sorry for my strong language. And I tweeted back. I said, you know, honestly, though, sometimes that's the only word that fits the situation. So I'm waiving your swearing quota for today, but don't get too used to it.
Well, I want to talk about Christians because I am a Catholic. I try to be a good Catholic. I think Pope Francis is the man. He came out and said that, you know, turning away refugees is the opposite of Christianity. Anybody who ever went to Posadas and saw how, you know, the Holy Family went to place after place trying to get let in. And these people who call themselves Christians, but are so afraid that one person out of a billion might possibly be a terrorist, that they're willing to see small children suffer and die you know, Jesus Christ was a badass. I mean, here's somebody who died on the cross slowly and painfully, and you're upset that your drive to the airport is slower because people are protesting. Someone I know who claims to be a very strong Christian said, if I go to the airport and there's people in front of me, I'm going to run over them. I mean, I'll go slowly so they get out of the way, but I'm going to run over them. Like, what kind of Christian are you? I'm going to run over people with my car.
Or just what kind of human being are you in general?
So I would say when I was brought up, like I said, my grandmother, who's a wonderful, wonderful person, was very Catholic, and she talked about God and the church all the time. And one thing she said is every talent you have is a gift from God, and you can only use to show it was not a mistake to give it to you instead of the kid next door, because it's not like you have anything that God wants, you know, that God's sitting up there wishing, gee, I wish you'd bring me a sandwich. So if you have those talents, like those people at the airport, those lawyers, I mean, that's a little bit of bright in the situation. Lawyers who came out and were literally on the ground, sitting on the ground with their laptops, filing briefs, those people did what they could do with their talent. So that was impressive. There's one thing I read that really kind of bothered me a lot, not in a visceral, emotional way, but in a very intellectual way, that this is scary. And that was someone who posted on the internet that they thought a lot of this stuff with immigrants and a lot of things that Trumpsky is doing is a red herring to distract people from things like he's putting people on the National Security Council without the permission of Congress, that the Joint Chiefs of Staff are not on the National Security Council, that we have people who are refusing to enforce court orders. So when the court says you must stay this immigration ban, that we have people who are refusing to do it. Not having three branches where laws are not enforced, that you have a strong man at the top, that's not the sign of a democracy. And that people are not appalled by that is disconcerting.
Well, and I saw someone on social media that posted something about, I believe it was, you know, and this is the point in the Middle East where we start waiting to see which side the military is going to take. And these people that think that everything's going to go on, there's a lot of things that steps-wise we keep going further and further down where it's really, really concerning. And people who don't seem to see that or think that the media is just throwing it out of proportion, I think that that's just terrifying.
And a second thing that this article talked about was if you were going to instill a fascist regime, one of the things you would do is find out who are the people who would take orders no matter what. So one way to do that would be to put out a completely outrageous order and see who would fall in line. You know, Sally Yates is going to go down in history. That woman, and I really admire some of these people in Washington who either publicly like her or just privately said, fuck this shit. But they didn't say it that way because they're in Washington, they're bureaucrats. But they quit their jobs. And to me, that's very impressive because these are people who are not like me where they're kind of in your face and that's their personality. They're often people who were quiet, head down, just going along, earning their pension and had put in 20 years and just said, I cannot take this. And they quit, some of them publicly, some of them quietly. And that's walking the walk. That's living your convictions. And I'm very impressed by those people. And I think that's an important point, that at the end of the day, you have to look in the mirror and feel comfortable with what you see. And if what you see is someone who is fine with five-year-old children being handcuffed at the airport, you got to wonder about yourself, dude, because you're afraid. Are you really that much of a coward?
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7GenerationGames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, GenerationGames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history, or increase your vocabulary while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7GenerationGames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help a much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.